Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey Curtis brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com for more information. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I always feel like that's some kind of indictment on me.
I don't think that it is. You look great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
My wife did the Iron Man yesterday down in Chattanooga.
Oh, wow.
Talk about looking great. She did great.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Awesome.
Great stuff there. So, Corey.
Good day for it.
Yeah, there was a great day for it
yesterday. Last time she did it, it was 94 degrees. So, yesterday was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm about to say, that's a little bit better yesterday than 94.
Yeah.
Well, Corey, let's start with, obviously, it's good if you're the Titans. Anytime you can get a win against the Colts, they get it done 25-16 yesterday. It wasn't always pretty, but it was done in the end. It's a win. What did you like about the Titans' performance yesterday? What did you not like about the Titans yesterday?
Well, I mean, I'm watching this game, and I even tweeted out, has anyone seen this game before? It felt like, yes, another Colts game. But I just kept feeling like that 09 Ravens playoff game, when they turned it over in Ravens territory two or three times. You know, you had three turnovers inside Colts territory. Guys, I know shoulda, woulda, coulda. They should have won that game by over 20 points.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the simple fact. Carson Wentz couldn't do anything. I loved their game plan to bring the pressure right in his face because he could not move laterally at all. And I thought that was, you know, really well done by them. I thought they were a little slow to react to the onslaught of screens they faced. But, you know, in the end, I think they gave up fewer yards than they had in years. So I thought, you know, defensively it did okay. And I like not allowing the adversity to defeat them mentally, emotionally, you know, because it's the Colts. And they could have allowed some of that stuff to creep into their head, and they didn't. They just kept pounding away on them like they knew they were the better team, and they won despite playing, you know, because the Colts could point to injuries. They could point to injuries as well. They didn't let that stop them either. So I know that's kind of a broad-based answer, but there's a lot to like, and I think in particular about overcoming adversity.
Yeah, I mean, some of the guys making plays – I think you tweeted this yesterday, Corey. You know, it's like some barely. I mean, Racy McMath, I didn't think we'd see him really on the field this year, and he's out there at the most important time of the game instead of Julio Jones, which was quite interesting. So,
did we get a solid answer on that other than management?
No. I mean, you got the, you know, sort of talking about blocking in a physical game in the fourth quarter, manage it. But you know, again, my question is: so on 3rd and 10, you don't want number two out there to help you out when you need to move the chain? So I don't know.
I would concur.
So on the apart from that, which of course you know is going to be, we'll keep talking about it this week and try to figure it out until the next time they play. But what about the injury situation for this team? I know that's the league, but it does seem like it's piling up pretty quickly, and Bud Dupree not able to go yesterday, to me, is a bit troubling.
Yeah, because that was just, you know, couldn't recover fast enough from the last game. And so, you know, you wonder, is that just like a season-long issue where it's going to be week to week on how his knee responds? And, you know, you talk about, you know, the injuries of A.J. Brown. I mean, yes, he played through a knee injury all last year, but that's not a hamstring. I mean, those soft tissue injuries, you have to let them get better or you can make them a lot, lot worse. And I know that it's frustrating. It's frustrating for AJ. It's frustrating for fans. It's got to be frustrating for Coach Vrabel. They have, to me, they have no choice. They have to sit him down until he's healthy and ready to go because they can't afford for him to completely pop that thing and be without him really for the rest of the year. You know, it's a 17-game onslaught. If they've got to sit him down for three or for five or whatever, that's what they've got to do. And, you know, they need guys to step up. And, you know, guys stepped up yesterday. What you were referring to yesterday is I tweeted out that They had three guys score touchdowns for him yesterday that we weren't even sure were going to make the team. So, you know, it's I think it's a nice job by John Robinson on the back end of the roster, and a nice job by coaches getting guys ready, and a nice job by guys being ready. But so they'll need Chester Rogers to step up. And guys, they need Josh Reynolds to step up.
Yeah.
I mean, I do not know what's going on there, you know, other than it's, you know, he's had some injuries, but it is not happening right now. And they need it to happen and happen really quickly, because while we all may like Racy McMath, I think we can all acknowledge that he's not as NFL ready to catch passes in this league as Josh Reynolds is. And so they're going to need, you know, they had a lot of guys step up. They're going to need more guys to step up.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, how big of a deal was it in your mind for Taylor Lewan, number one, to be available yesterday, but number two, to play the way that he did? And what did you think of his comments after the game about the fans booing him in week one, and how personally he took that, how emotional he was about all that?
Well, look, he was like the first guy I was watching yesterday. And you know, I saw him come off the ball that whole, you know, first couple drives and engage his blocker, his assignment every time. And I was like, okay, he's got it today. He's, you know, his head's on right. He's playing. We've seen Taylor struggle a little bit at times in the past, and he's always gotten it corrected. And so I fully expected him to get it corrected today. He is a polarizing figure because most offensive linemen are like backup quarterbacks. They're silent, okay? But he is not a silent guy. That's not him. That's not who he is. And I understand people either tend to love him or hate him, all right? And when you hate him, you just got to kind of grin and bear it because he's a Pro Bowl caliber player. But then you see the moment they struggle, people pounce on him like a cheetah on a carcass. And you know, all the suggestions that he should be benched for Sembrylo and Quisenberry are ridiculous. I mean, they're ridiculous. He played really well yesterday. I expect him to play really well the rest of the season. Those guys have done a good job, but they're not Taylor Lewan. They have not been to three Pro Bowls. I mean, he knows how to play football. You know, I'm going to need to see more than one bad game to convince me otherwise. And the other thing, you know, with the fans, you know, I saw him taking criticism for that, and it's like, look, all he's telling you people is he cares, all right? He was hurt because he cares. He cares what you think of him. And, you know, it's part of his motivation. You know, he wants to perform for you. He wants you to respect him. And, you know, he could be like some guys and just say he doesn't care about the fans at all, and you'd be upset about that too. So, you know, every guy is what they are. And I think that's one of the things that bothers me in life, is people don't try to take the time to understand people. They just try to take the time to judge people and say, I don't like that. And, you know, people are who they are. I think Taylor is what he is. I like some of it. I don't like some of it. But you know what I never faltered on? He's a really good football player, and we saw that yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I thought it was a little, I don't know, a little bit out of place. I was like, why are we still talking about this?
Yeah.
Now, but clearly, I mean,
because
him,
it was yeah, important to him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was,
it affected
him the last 2 weeks. And, you know, we, Joe, how many times have we said we just want real comments from people?
Exactly.
We don't want this, oh, we gave it 110%, guys had to step up. You know, those are real comments from him, you know, and so I'm not in a position to complain about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Randy Bullock.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, come on. he's got his job for another week. Now, last week we argued about the ridiculous non-touchdown for Julio Jones, which I still find very ridiculous. But I want to know, I think I could create another argument here,
okay,
possibly, or maybe you're on my side. I feel like this is a little bit of an old young thing, so you may be on my side, Corey.
Okay.
I don't like going for two. I don't like going for two when it's 20 yeah, to 13. I understand it worked out great for them, so hey, good for you. I would prefer to put the pressure on the other team to have to convert a 2-point conversion. Where do you stand with this? Are you with me, or are you against me, Corey?
You know what? I'm kind of both. Okay, because to me, you really go for two when you're worried about that other offense, right? And I don't think you were that worried about that offense. I don't think the Colts were going to be able to put it in the end zone two plays in a row against you. And I would have liked to just put that pressure on them to say, all right, you're going to have to score me 2 times in a row if you want to tie this thing up, because I don't think they can do it. That's the way I would have leaned. I totally understand why they went for two. I think it's an aggressive move. I think it's trying to throw a knockout punch early in the fourth quarter, which I think it pretty much did. And it was a chance to take the other team, you know, mentally out of the game with like 12 minutes to play. And I think it effectively did that. And I think they also had a lot of belief in the ability of the play they had called to succeed, because he walked right into the end zone. I don't believe I would have gone for two, but I'm not dead against going for two. I get why it was done, and I don't hate it. All right. So I don't know if that's waffling. I'm not trying to waffle. I'm just saying what I would have done. But, you know, there are times you violently disagree with decisions, and times you don't, and I don't violently disagree with that one.
Hey, you're being honest. That's
fine. That's what we're about here.
That's an honest answer for me.
I mean, I think I agree. Situationally, there are times when it's you have to go with, like, your play, the opponent, the situation, all that stuff. In general, though,
but if you've got Pat Mahomes on the other side of the field, you got to go for two. You got to get up front by 2 points.
Corey, last thing for you here. Obviously, some nice, calm, passionate reaction from Bears fans yesterday of Matt Nagy and that offensive showing that we saw from Justin Fields and company. What did you think of that yesterday from the Chicago Bears? And is Matt Nagy going to get fired in mid-season?
He should. He absolutely should. Look, I mean, we talked all, you know, leading up to the opener of why Andy Dalton was starting. You know, we didn't want him to play against the Rams, probably didn't want Justin Fields to play against this Browns team either. They appeared completely unprepared to protect the quarterback, which is staggering to me. They don't put the quarterback on the move enough, which is staggering to me. Okay, they threw 4 passes in the first half.
Yeah.
All right. You can't hide guys in this league and be successful. You either let them play or you don't let them play. Either he's ready or he's not ready. If he's not ready, put Nick Foles out there. Okay. But don't do this. Don't put him out there and say, well, he's going to take the snaps, but we're really not going to let him play the position. Imagine if the Chargers had done that last year with Justin Herbert. Oh, he's young. We're not going to let him sling it. We're just going to have him hand off to Austin Eckler and throw some checkdowns to the tight end. That's just kind of what we're going to do here because we're afraid. It's horrible, but not as horrible as the delay of game that was not called against Lamar Jackson that beat Joe's not Lions Lions.
Oh, the laughter in the press room for me yesterday when I saw that. It's amazing.
How do you not call that?
I don't know.
There are 11 officials on the field who can all see the zero on the board.
See, that, unlike the stupid Colts-Titans curse everybody thinks is real, which is not real, that is, I'll tell you why, because it's the Lions. That is a true law of nature.
As a Cub fan, I totally relate.
Corey, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, man. Good stuff as always.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, yeah. Corey. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com. For more information, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The biggest game of Week 3 is Monday night, tonight, between Philadelphia and Dallas. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. And that means you can end the NFL week the right way by winning $150 on a $5 bet. Give me the Cowboys in this game. I think Dak Prescott has a huge night tonight throwing the ball, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and they get you your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So just sign up with promo code ROB this week before Dallas takes on Philadelphia, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
I said, what happened down the stretch to be without Julio Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that as this thing, you know, played out, just trying to manage, you know, where he's at and, you know, understand that what the type of game that we thought the end of the game was going to be. You know, and those guys were going in there and trying to, you know, dig safeties out. So we'll keep looking at those guys. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that are, you know, going to need some rest this week. You know, a lot of guys, you know, they played hard, a physical game, and hopefully we can be ready to go when we head up to New York.
How important was it?
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday after the game talking about the Julio Jones situation. Julio Jones basically not on the field for the Titans in the fourth quarter, and that was Vrabel's response to that. It was interesting, as Corey pointed out. I mean, you'd like to have Julio Jones on the field in third and 10, and Mason on YouTube saying, you know, Julio's injured. Vrabel just didn't want to talk about it. That's my best guess. I mean, I think that would be my best guess too, but sometimes it may be better to at least acknowledge something. So you're not sitting here today wondering why Julio Jones is not on the field in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's just, again, I think there's a key missing piece of information. One piece could be, yeah, like there's some concern with whatever Julio Jones had that like kept him out of a lot of camp too, yep, which was kind of never really specified. I mean, he hasn't been on the injury report yet. So, or a conversation, or I don't know. Like, not have just completely taking him out of the game, even when you badly need to move the chains on a obvious passing down. I just do not understand it all.
Yeah, it makes no sense. So I would imagine that Julio Jones will be asked about, or Julio Jones, Mike Vrabel will be asked about Julio Jones a little bit later today.
Yeah, and if the routine is the same as it's kind of been, Friday is Julio Jones day usually with the Titans. This is another example of in normal times, which, gosh, I hope the NFL goes back to normal times, but I don't know. But in normal times, you know, the locker room's open. So you can go talk to Julio. Why weren't you out there? Or this week at any point, try to talk to Julio. Instead, maybe we'll get him Friday. I mean, and who knows? Maybe it'll be earlier than that. Maybe we won't get him. You just don't know anymore. The answers to things like this are way harder to come by now.
Well, and, you know, I just got a text from Jared talking about, you know, maybe it was the blocking for Julio Jones, which, you know, maybe it was. I don't know. But you pointed out that the play that we saw before, to end the third quarter, Julio Jones blocked up that play well, seemingly well on that play. So
I think he did the job exactly as prescribed.
So if that's the case, I mean, the injury to me is the only thing that could make sense. I don't know.
Yeah, because the blocking, I understand that. But then, okay, third and 10, third and 7, third and 6, I think, they got the Pruitt catch over the middle. You know, you had a second and 11. You had another third and goal. These are plays we all know you're throwing. They know you're throwing. So throw to your best pass catchers would be my guess that you would do. I'm glad you brought up Jared, by the way. So Jared is going, you know, Jared's got, actually, this is not just hot takes back and forth. Jared has a fair point to bring up on my rant, which is basically like, you know, you don't know the history of all these games. There's wacky stuff that have happened in the series. You know, Jared as a fan living and dying through all of them. He brought up the 2003 game, classic example, division on the line, Titans fumble two kickoffs and a punt. You lose late. You can't read that in a box score. That's fine. You know, the 08 game, Titans had the division wrapped up. But, of course, that actually supports my point. Like, you know, that was one of those games that you put on the ledger as a loss. Like, it's some big, you know, like the series history, and that meant nothing. Of course, there are individual moments that are going to be wacky, okay? My larger point, though, is over time, there's one answer here. I mean, yeah, you know, is it oversimplifying? Sure. But over time, the reason that a lot of these games, whether they were close or not, went the other way is because of who quarterbacked the other team. I mean, I'm sorry. You are not going to convince me otherwise. And the point that Jared makes then, okay, what about Lions Vikings from the 70s? Floyd is on the Lions team, and he said they knew they had a mental edge. Like, oh, no, hope we don't screw it up. Minnesota's like, oh, we know Detroit will screw it up. Well, first of all, okay, we've talked a lot about the Lions and how they have a very – I mean, again, that starts with ownership, and their history is pretty consistent. But, see, that's – I know that teams have mental edges over teams in a period of time. So I'm sure at that point the Vikings were really good. The Lions were very good. Like, we know we're going to beat them. And I'm sure that has happened over time here with the Colts over the Titans. But when you have different players, different management, all that stuff, there's not some curse. The fans feel it because they experience all of it. The guys who are actually creating the result on the field couldn't give a rip about what happened in 2007 or 2011 or 2015. But you know what? They won because they had a better quarterback yesterday. And they've won 3 of 4 with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. So we'll see if the trend continues.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Kinston texting in, are y'all worried about Jeffrey Simmons at all? I've been told for 3 years this guy is the next big thing, and he's a future all-pro, etc., and he's rarely making impacts in these games in regard to how he's being billed. Still waiting for him to, quote, take over. This is coming from Kinston on our text line.
I think that's a fair point. I mean, look, I think when I watch him specifically, I see Jeffrey Simmons doubled a lot, and I think he'll continue to be doubled because he's a disruptive, athletic, active player. But the great players make plays anyway and disrupt anyway. I mean, he did some yesterday. He had a big PBU in the third quarter, yep. I believe that was. Third quarter, and a, you know, key moment there defensively. But I would tend to agree. Is that like, do you worry about him? I don't know if you worry about him, but I agree. It's like, okay, let's see a little more here. Let's see more plays made.
Yeah. No, look, we said it. I mean, with Denico Autry, who, by the way, I thought was pretty good again yesterday for the Titans, with him coming in, with Bud Dupree, who we did not see yesterday. But when the picture is complete for this Titans defense, you want to see Jeffrey Simmons be able to take advantage of that and have a big season. And look, he's been good. He's been fine. I mean, I think you want Jeffrey Simmons on your team for sure, but he is – I think there's still another level that he needs to get to in order to justify some of the things that we've been told about Jeffrey Simmons and the talent that he brings to the table. I mean, look, I know these off-season lists sometimes are really stupid, but we did have a general manager or an executive in the National Football League come out anonymously on this list at ESPN.com and said that Jeffrey Simmons is the closest thing in the NFL to Aaron Donald. And I've not seen much of that.
Not seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not seeing Aaron Donald Jr. right now. Good player. But I think there's a chasm between those two players. I mean, there's a chasm between Aaron Donald and probably anybody else in the position.
Yeah.
But right now, Jeffrey Simmons looks to me like, a good player. If this team, defense are going to be what they want to be, I think he's got to be more than that. So, good point, Kinston.
Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and Colts. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Wednesday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game Wednesday, you win a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate Wednesday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a Titans victory against the Colts, 25-16, the final score yesterday for the Titans. Gator Tim texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How did Bud Dupree do yesterday? I will text every week this year and remind you how they overpaid for him and that he only got sacks when Watt and Hayward pushed the quarterback into him. This coming from Gator Tim on the text line.
So every sack was like those guys saying, "Here, Bud, like
take him."
They kind of like hit the guy, and like you're trying to hit him over toward Bud Dupree so he can get a sack.
Look, it's obvious he's not healthy, and he's still recovering from the knee. I mean, we had him on the show last Thursday, and he said he was not going to put a number on it exactly how he was feeling, but you could tell. I mean, he's still trying to get fully back and get recovered from the ACL, and he just wasn't able to do anything yesterday. Now, is that concerning moving forward? Yeah, I think that is concerning moving forward because they're going to need Bud Dupree this year with the amount of money he's being paid and the player that he can be. And I wouldn't pull the plug on Bud Dupree just yet. I do think we've seen some good things from him when he's been on the field, but certainly he needs to get healthy. That's step number one to Bud Dupree making an impact with the Titans is you got to find a way to get that knee healthy.
I mean, for all the attention Julio Jones got, we said it before the season, I've believed that Bud Dupree is the number one individual storyline for this season because you're not going to get close to where you want to get if you don't have any pass rush, if you can't improve any on defense. I think we've overall seen some improvement on defense, but it's hard to imagine this team going against the top offenses in the NFL and not having a significant contribution from him. I mean, especially now, look, I know Rashad Weaver was like inactive week one and all that stuff, but Rashad Weaver is a guy who was always going to be a factor in this season. And so now he's out. Roberson hurt. Now you're down to, and again, regardless of all those guys, like you start with Bud Dupree. He's got to be a key player for this team this year. So it is concerning. It's also worth remembering, like, Lawan and Dupree also are going to be constantly compared because they're both coming off ACLs. I mean, Dupree was weeks and weeks after Lawan. So, I mean, this is, like, pretty fast coming back from an early December ACL tear.
Yep.
So, you know, the hope, if you're the Titans, if you're Titans fans, is they're being careful. They're not going to push it. It's healthy, intact, stable, and it comes down to just being stronger and mentally being able to get over it. If it's something beyond that, there's some kind of a lingering issue or whatever, some kind of a setback, real setback in the knee, boy, that's a bad deal for this team.
John Glennon has come out with the top five offensive grades Pro Football Focus.
Oh, goody.
Ryan Tannehill at number one with 86.6.
Okay.
Ben Jones at two with 77.1. David Questenberry, number three, 75.5. Questenberry's been there, I think, all 3 weeks.
Well, honestly, Questenberry's been fine at right tackle. Yeah. I think they're just fine. Like, you can't tell me right now, watching Questenberry, it's early, that, like, Dennis Kelly last year was, like, markedly better at right tackle than Questenberry has been. And I hate to say that this basically means I'm agreeing with Pro Football Focus's stupid grades, but I'm just saying, like, the guy's been solid.
Number four, Julio Jones, 75.4. Mm. And number five, Derrick Henry, 68.6.
Maybe Vrabel pulled him because he knew his Pro Football Focus grade was really good.
Maybe,
and
so
he's like, I don't want to risk going below 75%. I feel like Pro Football Focus got you right around 75%, Julio. So let's preserve that.
For the defensive side of the ball, the top five grades for at least 15 snaps, Christian Fulton, 81. So number one, Christian Fulton.
Boy, do they need him to be.
Yes, they
okay.
Do.
He's been so good.
Ola Danny was 73.3.
Okay.
David Long, 72.5. Yep. Thorell Murchison, 68.4. And Jeffrey Simmons, 65.6.
There you go.
Top five.
Kenston. Simmons made top five PFF.
That's right. Feel better.
I will say.
The Monday John Glennon tradition continues.
I will say. Long, Adeniyi, Fulton, those are probably my three standouts on D. So. Yeah. Pro Football Focus, turning a corner.
Yeah,
congrats, buddy.
Shane from Ashland City on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Still holding faith on Bud Dupree, even though he's got me 1 point in 3 weeks on fantasy. So Shane apparently playing in a league where you have individual defensive players.
That's unfortunate.
That's tough.
On the Julio question, by the way, Brian Porth brought up something that, I mean, I think is worth throwing out there because, hey, let's throw everything out there. He said, what if Julio pulled himself out of the game as he apparently did regularly in Atlanta? I don't think that's it. Again, I don't know. I mean, anything's possible. I don't think that's it. I mean, I think he was there. He had that helmet on.
If Julio pulled himself out of the game, Vrabel would not have answered that question that way to start the press conference.
That's true, too.
There's no way.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. Yeah, pretty much right. Although it's, like, again, the answer, though, was not a complete accounting of the situation.
But. Right, but it also, like, the first answer, he was not – he didn't sound like he was just irritated by Julio Jones either. Like, if Julio Jones pulled himself out of the game, Mike Vrabel's not responded to that very well. Just be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true. But, hey, you know what? Let's throw them all out there.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a curse. Maybe there's some kind of a curse of Julio Jones that we don't know about.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Adeniyi and Autry, by far, the best free agent signings so far for the Titans. I think Autry looked good again yesterday.
Yeah. He made a difference against his old team. Yep. Chester Rogers made a difference against his old team. Chester Rogers also had a bad, let the ball pop up, but he had the touchdown.
Second week in a row, he's let one pop up off the shoulder and, ooh.
Yeah, that's true. And it almost cost him the Seattle game and was one of those plays in this game where you're like, gosh, you were controlling this game, and then that happens. But I agree. Autry has been good. Autry's been good. I'd like to see Autry Simmons as a tandem, you know.
By the way, it is Adeniyi, right? Ola Adeniyi. I'm looking at a pronunciation guy. That's what it tells me.
Is that what it tells you? No. I've been saying Adeniyi.
It just says Adeniyi.
Okay.
We'll have to get some clarification on that.
Well, we will. And you know
what? We're all about pronouncing names properly here on this show.
We're big on that.
Yeah.
And he was out there yesterday, but he was out there kind of outside the locker room. They're bringing some players outside the locker room. Did not get a chance to ask. So that needs to be clarified. Just like Tyson Brailo.
Yes.
Not Tyson Brailo. Needs to remind everybody of that again.
Yes. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Chris texting in. All these injuries we're talking about sounds like a good week to play the Jets. Hopefully they can get by with limited play from these injured players and rest more of them so they can go more from the games at the end of October. It is the NFL. You can get beat. We've seen the Titans get beat by some bad teams before. But to Chris's point, if you're going to have some injuries, maybe the Jets, not a bad team to play against.
Yeah, that's fair. By the way, Jared, who has said that we talk about him 60% of the time on the show, like, we're talking about him today only because he constantly is badgering me with his texts. How can you agree with Pro Football Focus is great? Tannehill threw two balls that high schoolers know not to throw, one of which got picked. I don't actually know what the second one was. The first one, which, by the way, was the best quote of the entire postgame yesterday, Vrabel saying Tannehill threw into a pep rally.
that was not a good decision.
It was not a good decision. It was also a totally jacked up play. So Tommy Hudson and McNichols. Tommy Hudson and McNichols are both running crossing patterns, and they bump into each other. Like, yeah. like it's Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
They ram into each other, and then Hudson is, I guess, trying to finish his route, but then he stopped again, and Tannehill threw it, expecting him to keep running. But I agree, you don't make that throw.
No.
If you don't think that Tannehill was outstanding yesterday and was the key to the game, then, well, Jared, I don't know, buddy. I don't know what to do. The numbers were not great. They don't win that game without countless key plays from him with his arm and his feet. And again, let's go through the biggest play of the season so far. Jeremy McNichols, Racy McMath, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Chester Rogers, Michael Pruitt. That's the amazing array of talent around Ryan Tannehill in the fourth quarter of that game. So I agree. That was a bad pick.
We've made it way too far in this show without really doubling down on the Nick Westbrook-Ikhina stuff. I mean, just a great play from Westbrook-Ikhina. Lots of tweets to you yesterday when that happened. I know it was a big moment for you. You've been waiting on it all season, and it was good to see NWI really cash in for you this early on.
What I'd like to know is he conscious of like this whole thing around him, which he's like the poor guy's done nothing, you know, to create this situation. I wrote one piece about how the Titans are excited about him, which by the way is completely playing out as reality. Even with injuries, I mean, like, no one even thought he would make the team, right?
He had more snaps than Julio Jones yesterday.
Yeah.
Just want to point that out.
Not sure why Joe's not wearing his button this morning, Robbie.
Yeah, I know. I didn't have it in the press box either. But it is amazing. He gets that touchdown, and I'm like, ugh. I don't even want to of course, the whole press box is like, ah, like pointing at me. And then, of course, you tweeted at me. Everybody tweeted at me. You know, Stillman tweeted at me, all caps, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, if you're him, does he – like
is he aware?
Well, again, one time he was out there for interviews, and I wasn't in the scrum, and Carhart's like, get over there. Come on, Joe, go talk to him. Go talk to him, Joe. Like, shut up. Leave me alone. It's just like this big thing.
Was that your Kuharsky impression?
Yeah, when I do Kuharsky, I kind of jerky boys it up a little bit. He's from Jersey. Yeah, go talk to Westbrook and Keenan, Joe.
It's kind of works.
Right? I mean, he doesn't really talk with that accent, but that's like very Kuharsky to me. You know?
There you go.
You gotta sauce it up a little bit. Yeah, the Westbrook and Keenan thing. Hey, Westbrook and Keenan was pretty good yesterday, other than the fumble.
Yeah. You know,
the second guy comes in, rips it out, can't have it, but... I mean, I think back to last camp when that guy couldn't catch a cold.
Yeah.
And he's doing the job right now. NWI.
I think TD described him as in physical conflict with the football in training camp last year.
Edward
Scissorhands. He's like fighting the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. And here he is. So.
Making big plays. He was number one guy for the Titans yesterday at the end of the game. It's pretty amazing.
I mean, yeah, again, what was it? 19 more snaps than Julio Jones?
Yeah.
So,
not what you want.
So good for Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, but huh?
Yeah, it's not what you want. When we come back, we'll have Joe's three best and three worst performances for the Titans yesterday against the Colts. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
To bring my Nick Westbrook-Ikhina a little button.
I can't wait.
You have a button?
Oh, yeah. Austin Stanley, Made Z Sports, gave me a nice button during one of the practices. It's like the parents with the kid, the high school game. I mean, it's very nice. So.
I can't wait until he catches a touchdown pass at some point this year, which he will. He's going to get a touchdown this year. Yeah. And just the Twitter reaction directed towards you.
Joe will get the hype. Joe will get the hype.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. After one big play in camp, because at first, I was just like, okay, everybody, shut up. But then, after one big play in camp he made, I did a little high step down the sideline.
That was Joe Rexroad last week here on the program. We were discussing Nick Westbrook-Ikhina getting into the end zone. Little did we know, Joe, that Sunday would be the day Nick Westbrook-Ikhina gets in there. What a time.
Again, the poor guy. He's like, what? I'm just trying to be a pro football player. Why are you guys all, like, laughing every time I make a play?
Did you high step in the press box?
Did you get up and make a lap?
Yesterday? No, I did not. I just laughed. And I'm like, I don't even want to look at my mentions. Buck's, like, you know, next to me. And then I got Kuharsky on one side and Buck on the other side. And they're constantly giving me crap anyway. But, no, I just was like, okay, so my mentions are about to go crazy. And they did.
Yes, they did.
By the way, Jared, I go back to Jared, who, again, is forcing us to talk about him all day. So more than our normal 60% that we talk about Jared, we're going to be like 75% Jared today. So he said the other throw that he said the high schooler should know how to throw. He was getting sacked, threw it up in the air, landed at the feet of McNichols, but easily could have been a pick six. Yeah. Yeah, that was a risky throw. Yeah. The key to the game was 22. See, it's interesting. I mean, look, Derrick Henry's always the key, a key. He was great yesterday, I thought. I mean, the numbers weren't great, but I thought he was great. The run game was rugged against a tough defense with, you know, Buckner in the middle of that thing and Leonard. I mean, that is a tough physical defense. But to me, you've got to have quarterback play. It's like the Seattle game. It might have been Derrick Henry's best game. It was one of his top probably three or four games for sure, right? He was incredible. Yeah. He was a story, one of the stories of the league. And you still just go home with an L if Tannehill doesn't make throw after throw, especially on the tying drive. Some of them are just simple checkdowns, but that's what you do. Great quarterbacks know when to do that too. So, I mean, look, they're not in competition with each other. I mean, Tannehill, I think, loses – around the league in terms of perception because of Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry deserves all the credit he gets, but Tannehill is a huge key, as much a key as anyone, because, of course, in this league, the quarterback always will be.
Sure. That's the name of the game at that position. So with that in mind, your three best and three worst for the Titans against the Colts yesterday. We'll start with the three best. Who were the three best players, the three best elements of the Titans yesterday against the Colts?
I'm going Ryan Tannehill.
Number one.
I'm going Ryan Tannehill again because the numbers not great. Yes. the pick was bad. You know, the other pick was on Rodgers. But he kept it together and made the key plays, again, especially with a completely, like, almost basically a practice squad offensive skill set around him. He gets absolutely obliterated early in the game, does not affect how he plays. It never does. And some of the plays he made with his feet in that game were huge. And the biggest one was the 13-yarder at the end, staying in bounds. 28-yarder earlier, he just made a lot of plays in one of those tough, divisional, defense-first kind of games where the stats aren't going to jump off the page at you. But three touchdown passes, and that's the key. You finish in the red zone. Why? Because on third and goal, he hits Rodgers. He finds man coverage. He's able to hold off, wait. He breaks open. He hits him. Third and goal, he hits McNichols. Looked easy, but again, you got to throw it right on time. I even timed it. It was 2.2 seconds. After a quick look off to the left, which was supposed to be the first read, throws him with momentum to the sideline, and he gets in easily. It's what looks like an easy play, but so many quarterbacks are a little bit off or a little bit late, and you don't score on that play. And then, of course, he threw the TD to Westbrook-Ikhina. So those are his three touchdown passes. Rodgers, Westbrook-Ikhina, McNichols, okay? I think I'm going to give a little credit to the quarterback when the game turns out like that. He's in command, and the Titans are in good shape with him at QB.
Your second best thing you saw out of the Titans yesterday.
So I'm kind of combining a bunch of stuff. Luan, the O-line, Henry, the running game was really good against a very tough opponent. I think this is one of the toughest, you know, run defenses the Titans will face this year. And they were able to, even in the second quarter, really start getting some lanes for Henry. Taylor Lewan looked like Taylor Lewan to me. Maybe, I don't know, what was his Pro Football Focus grade? Was it good? Who knows?
He wasn't in the top five.
He wasn't in the top five. All right. I thought in the running game, they went left more than right, and Lewan was a big part of some of those good runs. And I didn't see him have any issues in pass pro. He was left alone. And that's a big development for them. Overall, good offensive line play. And Henry was great. Henry is always right at the top of reasons the Titans win.
Number three on the list of best things from the Titans yesterday.
I'm going to go Adene? Adene? Is that what you're telling me?
Adeney.
Adeney.
I'm just telling you what the pronunciation guide says.
Okay. Ola Adeney. I like that. Okay, we can get used to that. He and Landry together, you got no Bud Dupree, you got no Derek Roberson, you got an awful injury for Rashad Weaver. And, you know, the Titans had 10 quarterback hits in this game. Those two guys had 8 of them. Landry had 5. Adeney had 3. They also combined for both sacks. Adeney had 1.5. Landry had 1. I mean, Landry really cleaned up the second one and made sure Wentz got to the ground. But 8 quarterback hits, 2 sacks, those guys were big time. And Adeney is just – he's becoming a really nice find for this team. And this is – by the way, he's one of those guys. Go back to the preseason. This is why you can't broad brush across the board. Preseason football means nothing. A lot of it, yes. But he did flash in the preseason, and he's now taking it to the regular season. I mean, he's got some speed and some pass rush juice, and they really needed it. And, boy, they might need more of it than they would like to need in the near future.
Was Adeney the guy in training camp that just totally blitzed past Dylan Raiden's and were like, oh, boy, Dylan Raiden's could be in trouble?
Exactly.
Adeney
right.
Might be pretty good.
You're like, man, this second-round pick is getting just worked by this. Who is this guy? He brought in for special teams. Man, that's bad. Well, here you go. He's looking like a pretty good football player.
Joe Rexroad, your three worst things from the Titans yesterday, beginning with number one.
So, I honestly came up with two. You got to help me with a third.
Okay.
But the worst is the turnovers.
For sure.
Again, I agree. Like Tannehill, you can't throw that pass. He had to pump, and it's like, okay, then you're just going to throw that pass still? You know, I think that's one where you just you tuck it or you sail it or whatever, but that's a bad pick. Rodgers, I mean, you can't – gosh, if you're going to drop the ball, don't let it pop up in the air. That's 2 weeks in a row. Can't let that happen. And then Westbrook-Ikhina, I mean, look, man, if you're going to be out there, you know, you're going to have to expect guys to come in second and try to rip the ball out, and you got to be stronger with the ball than that. Those turnovers, especially two of them are when these drives that are moving toward the end zone. So you flip it around. I mean, at the end of the first half, I get why some Titans fans are like, oh, here we go. Because it was going to be certainly 17-7, assuming Bullock makes the field goal. But it's not going to be 14-10. That's a big swing with the Colts getting the ball. So those could have been fatal. And in most weeks, they will be. And the Titans are 7-1 against turnovers. So they're making too many mistakes. Also, you have got to start getting the ball away from the opponent. You got to start making more plays defensively. Overall, it's been pretty good defensively since the opener. It's been, I'd say, awfully good the last six quarters of football.
Yeah.
But you got to force more turnovers.
No, I don't think there's any question about that. Number two, your second worst thing that you saw from the Titans.
It's injuries. And so, again, I'm not blaming them. It's not a thing where they messed it up, but it's starting to look a little bit rough here for this team. For Christian Fulton, that's a big one. A.J. Brown, how long is he going to be out? Is Julio Jones hurt?
That's what I was going to put at number three, like in a separate category, because I have no clue. Is he hurt or is he not? Is he just not playing in the fourth quarter?
There you go. I like that. Julio Jones, the mystery of Julio. That's a good third. Because it's great that the Titans got this done and made the plays. And, again, I think Tannehill, not only are these, again, kind of guys, fringe roster guys, so that means that Tannehill doesn't get a ton of reps with these guys. I mean, he's getting them with Rodgers now because he's kind of – but, I mean, he's not getting a ton of reps with Westbrook-Ikhina and Batson. And, Pruitt makes a big play. So – that's great, and it's one of those, like, dig deep and next man up type of wins. But what the heck's going on with Julio Jones? I can't for the life of me understand if he's healthy, if there's not some personal conflict, why he would not be on the field in obvious passing downs in a National Football League game that you need to win against a division rival. I can't figure it out.
I'm really interested to see what Mike Vrabel has to say about that. I believe Vrabel's press conference today at 12:30. So looking forward to that one coming up.
I'm guessing not a ton.
Probably not.
It'll be interesting.
I bet he'll be asked about it. So we'll see what happens on that front. Make sure you tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on ESPN 94.9, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The NFL Game of the Week, the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Green Bay Packers on Sunday, coming up at 3:25, a Robbie Stanley, Chanel Knezovic battle. We'll see what happens on that front. Make sure you tune into that coming up on Sunday at 3:25. And we are streaming today and every day live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to, reacting to a 25-16 win for the Titans yesterday against the Colts. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.